Speaker Mike Johnson said there will not be an amendment vote on extending expiring Obamacare subsidies as part of, you know, what they're doing here right before Christmas. And so what does that mean for the regular folks? Let's bring in Mark Fendrick, professor of internal medicine at the School of Medicine and your health management professor also in the School of Public Health at University of Michigan. Your title, Mark, is so long.
Time to cut it short, Jamie.
Mark Fendrick, really University of Michigan.
Yeah, really happy to hear the weather going into the 40s here.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
All right, let's talk about this. You know, he says he's not going to bring this up for a vote, so it will mean that these premiums go up for people. But I'm wondering your thoughts on the Republicans put out a plan for, you know, a different way of doing things. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I'm not so sure it's that much different. I think the Republicans and Democrats are playing a game of chicken here to see the who's going to take the blame for the fact that hundreds of thousands of people in Michigan and millions across the country are going to see markedly higher premiums for their health insurance. And what worries me, Jamie, of course, is that there'll be a whole bunch of people who just say, I can't afford it anymore, and go back to the future and have our uninsured problem that we had prior to Obamacare. So the issues of buying health care across state lines, which is a big issue in the House, and this idea that tying on to the president's idea of putting money into the patient's pockets and not in the insurance companies, which was considered in the Senate but did not make that, suggests that some of these new or old ideas are not popular enough to make this into law.
You know, you had a Republican leader who pointed out that roughly three quarters of the ACA enrollees live in states that Donald Trump won. I mean, is there a disconnect between the political framing of Obamacare and who actually relies on it?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Lloyd. I think the ACA has gone through its troubles, but it's more popular now than it's ever been since its passage in 2010. And while a lot of the things that you're talking about and people around kitchen tables are issues of food and rent and other types of affordability, but the fact that the typical insured American, it costs their employer over $25,000 or what some people like to say a new car every year, the Americans themselves pick up a quarter of that cost. And as those costs rise, the pressures become increasingly hard to pay for all the things that we need to buy.
Well, this is the problem with the Republicans now is doing away with the ACA is just a non-starter, it seems like, but they want to take these HSA accounts forward. You said that you don't think they're that different. Why?
Well, no, the ideas are, you know, we've been talking about repeal and replace for a very longer than we've known each other, Chris.
Yeah.
And the idea of the idea of getting rid of Obamacare is, as you said, has kind of lost its luster. And despite the idea of different approaches to what the Republicans could do, there's never anything that's kind of caught fire enough to see that the conservatives who don't like Obamacare at all, and now the growing group of moderates who are at risk in, who are in those situations where, you know, Lloyd had mentioned in districts where a lot of people are on the exchanges and getting subsidies for health insurance are really going to see this be problematic. I do think that, and we've talked about health savings accounts for the right person. I think it's only brand new that HSAs or health savings accounts are allowable on the exchanges through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. And that only applies to a certain number of those types of plans that are available on the exchange and not all of them. So implementing this would be very, very complicated. And in my opinion wouldn't reach a significant number of people who need to get their health insurance to be affordable.
Mark, we're talking about these enhanced subsidies, not the whole thing, right?
Correct.
The Census Bureau says that insurance coverage showed that the share of Americans with any coverage hasn't changed since 2019, despite these enhanced subsidies. But enrollment in employer plans has declined. So it seems like those enhanced subsidies are very, you know, enticing to people, that they'd rather be on that than their employer plans.
Yeah, I mean, any subsidy is very valuable, which is why it's the issue of the Democrats know that people really like them. And certain Republicans are completely valid in making their point that they're very, very expensive, and we're not exactly sure what we're getting in terms of healthcare gains. And then there's this issue that was brought up last week that there is a number of people who enroll on these subsidized exchange plans who shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's anywhere near as large as a problem as some people are clamoring about fraudulent enrollment. But like many policies that impact millions, it is imperfect, and there will be some things that go awry. But the bottom line is that, sadly, in my opinion, the four of us are going to sit around and to see what the ramifications are when we know that in just in a few days, when we know these subsidies aren't extended, that people will have to pay up to double and sometimes more their premiums that they're paying now, and that we will see, depending on you listen to, a large number of people who just decide not to pay their premiums at all.
So, Professor, you know, if people lose coverage or they delay care, I mean, are we actually saving money or are we just shifting costs elsewhere in the system?
Yeah. You should become a professor of health management and policy. That would give you a shorter, a longer title for you and a shorter one for me. So these are the issues that we're talking about. And again, we've lived through these before. Uninsured doesn't mean get no care. And people who can't afford care means that someone has to pay for it somewhere. So I do believe, Lloyd, that those of us who remain insured will have to pick up part of the bill to see the impact of those people who don't get their preventive care services, don't have a primary care clinician, and delay care till things are too late, which is often worse for their health outcomes, which matters to me, and often more and more expensive, which pertains to public and private payers.
It's such a complicated issue. I appreciate talking about it, but we need our lawmakers to sit down and really figure this out.
Yeah.
Mark Fendrick, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a good rest of your day.
You
Thank
too.
Thank you.
I'm sure they'll do just that.
Of course they will.
I mean,
right before they leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And forget about like what, you know, the Twitter is saying, whatever. Yeah. Just get in a room and figure this out.
Well, at this point, roll with the Fetterman plan.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Fetterman plan.
Extend it for a year.
Yeah, 1 year.
Extend the subsidies for a year.
Right.
Make sure that people's costs don't go up now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that can be a political win for Donald Trump at this point. And then you try to figure it out.
Sit down and negotiate. And get it. You got a year.
I don't even think you need, at this point, I don't even know if you're in negotiation. Come up with a legitimate plan. Like, come up with something that will appease people that are on this without taking away their insurance. Look, the cat's out of the bag. I don't know how you roll this program back now. I'm not a huge fan of it, personally, but I don't know how you pull that rug out from under people at this point. So come up with something.
Sit in a room and talk about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go into the 7 o'clock hour here on JR Morning. We're going to talk about the Rob Reiner tweet when it comes to the president and the economy. Is it healthy or not? We'll ask the former senior economic advisor to the president at 7:35.